It's great for football. It's great for football worldwide. It's great for football here. We could never sort out FIFA. FIFA would never get sorted out while he was there. And it is a deeply flawed, possibly corrupt organisation that needs, you know, needs a lot of work. And that wasn't going to happen while he was there. So he's gone. I mean, when I left on Friday night, I was interviewed by quite a lot of people and I said, look, this, he'll never last 4 years. This won't sustain. But even I couldn't have dreamt that he'd be gone by Tuesday.
Let's go FIFA. Let's go FIFA. Let's go FIFA.
Let's go FIFA. And Andy Hubber has been good enough to join us from Fox Sports. And Andy, good morning. Was this a surprise?
Oh, g'day, KB. Look, mate, look, sort of, I guess. But if you've been following this over however, whatever sort of period, you've learned not to be surprised by anything that comes out of FIFA. This is just another twist in the tail. It's not the end of the section. And, you know, people, to the extent that for some quarters this has been a witch hunt to see the back of Sepp Blatter, they'll be a measure of satisfaction with that. But this, to me, is not about a witch hunt. If you're going to get reform, it's not about one person. And at this point, I don't think it's about believing that that one person is going to go without having some sort of say on what happens from here on.
Mm. Well, he's staying on until a new president has been elected. Your old commentating mate, Simon Hill, he'd be doing cartwheels. He's very anti-Sepp Blatter.
Well, you know, he's not on his own. And I don't think, you know, Sepp Blatter hasn't won a lot of new friends over the years. He's consolidated old friends. But my point on this is unless Sepp Blatter, unless Sepp Blatter can be shown to be the puppeteer who was orchestrating this deep corruption which appears to have been taking place with charges laid and possibly more to come, unless you can prove that he's that person, I don't get the point of the witch hunt. But by him vacating the seat, do we honestly think that of its own volition now FIFA is going to resign? I think from Sepp Blatter's viewpoint, his position was completely untenable, but that's a separate discussion from thinking that now that he's gone, the whole place will clean up automatically. So there's still a lot of work to be done. There's still, you know, until we've formally seen the back of Sepp Blatter and the impact of the influence that he has on the place, we shouldn't think that you know, he'll go quietly. I mean, this is going to buy his camp time. Get this. I might need to be put in the rubber room myself, but I wouldn't even rule out Sepp Blatter announcing a comeback for that election. I mean, who knows what's going to take place? At the very least, I think what we can be assured of is a couple of things. Firstly, the intense pressure that's built up over the last few days has forced this decision. And the second thing is, indisputably, this gives Sepp Blatter an opportunity to take some heat out of the discussion and to buy some time to plan what they're going to do next. But to think that he's just going to roll up his swag and walk off...
You don't think so?
I think it's naive in the extreme. Whether he formally renominates for the president, I'm not saying he's definitely going to do that, but I'm saying don't be surprised if he does. But even if he doesn't do that, his supporters will be working to make sure that the next president of FIFA is from the Blatter camp. I think that's a given.
Mm. Well, he said whilst he had a mandate from the membership of FIFA, he did not feel that he had a mandate from the entire world of football, which is the fans, the players and the clubs and the people live and breathe and love football as much as we all do at FIFA. So if he's resigned because he hasn't got a mandate, I don't think he's going to get that mandate back. And I suppose most people, Andy, would suggest that with all those investigations and those eight generals of his and those delegates and all that money going missing, that people would think Sepp Blatter rules the FIFA with an iron fist and nothing would take place at FIFA without his knowledge.
Yeah, well, that's the presumption. But
do you think that? You don't think that?
To me, it's immaterial. The place needs changing. Moving one person of itself isn't going to fix it. And Sepp Blatter should have fallen because the position just became ridiculous. But I do accept that perhaps having him out of the way maybe opens the way, but it doesn't change the system. It doesn't change the fact that there's nothing new.
Depends upon who's the next president, doesn't it, Andy?
Of course.
Who's the best person for that job to give everyone confidence right throughout the world of soccer?
Well, I'm going to just take that discussion just onto the side for a second this way, KB. Whoever it's going to be, if we're going to get the reform that we want, the new candidate in being clean and dealing transparently, what they have to do is make sure that the vast mass of voting countries are confident that they're not going to get overrun by the power of Western Europe. That political fault line is what has supported and kept Sepp Blatter alive for so long. And just to reiterate the fact that the vote from Bhutan, the vote from the Seychelles, the vote from the Maldives, the vote from Fiji, the vote from the Central African Republic, from Sao Tome and Principe, from Djibouti, are all worth the same individually as the vote of France, Germany, England and Brazil. Mm. And it just is the way of the world that there are a lot more poor countries than rich ones, and their vote is worth just the same as the rich countries. Now, to get reform through FIFA, the way it is constituted at the moment, you have to get that massive support believing that they're going to remain part of the puzzle and not cast aside. And this is historically where the fight has been. When Charles Havelange took over in 1974, he did it on the basis of opening up the world of football to every country on the planet. And with that electoral power, these people have voted en masse for that status quo ever since. And you can understand why. It's not about corruption at this point. It's about the fact that they're part of it, and they receive significant development funding from FIFA legitimately to build the game in their country. Why would they vote against that when they're fearful that the alternative is the tsunami from Western Europe, which will just cast them into irrelevance? And until you can ease the angst of those countries en masse, these political fault lines will remain.
Just one final question.
I'm not sure if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand exactly where you're coming from. If the bid for the 2022 World Cup was on the table again, should Australia bid again?
Yes. In a clean fight, based on merit, based on two things. That the bids are based on merit and that it is good for the development of football into expanding football's footprint. If that was a clear and present objective of the FIFA opening the bid, then Australia should go for it, absolutely and completely, because this is one of the few corners of the world where, despite football's popularity, which we know and again saw last night in the Sydney-Chelsea match, very obviously also has significant hurdles to overcome. And a World Cup, but hosting a World Cup is as relevant as an issue for us now as it was before that failed bid and the corrupt bid for, as it's turned out, for Qatar 2022. So given the right circumstances, we most certainly should be involved in it.
I agree. I think we should shoot for the stars and have a crack at the World Cup. Andy, always great to catch up. Thanks for your time today.